Hi, Suzanne. How are you?
I'm great, thanks, Linda. I've had a busy morning at a media brunch that was held for the international media visiting Edinburgh this year. So, it's been interesting listening to the welcoming us to the Edinburgh festivals. You've never been to Scotland, have you, Linda?
No, I haven't, no, but it's on my to-do list, definitely.
I've buddied up with a German journalist here, so she's been following a German comedian and getting reports, and so I'll kind of tell you a bit more about that in a while, but I did think of you as my German colleague and producer.
Very good, that's what I like to hear, that people are going to different countries and they think of me. So tell me about your media brunch, what was that all about?
Talking this morning, the Cabinet Secretary for Culture and External Affairs, of course, from the Scottish Government, Fiona Hislop, welcoming us here to the festivals, and really talking about, when we think of the Edinburgh Festivals, we think of arts, we think of culture, but obviously looking at it from a political point of view and a business point of view, and how the Edinburgh Festivals that have been running since just after the Second World War, since 1948, have built up this amazing revenue stream for Scotland. And interesting to note that with the Ryder Cup coming to Scotland in 2014 with the golf, actually most of the time the arts and culture, the Edinburgh Festivals, bring more revenue into Scotland than golf, but maybe not in 2014 with the Ryder Cup coming. So very interesting to get that insight into the economics of culture and arts. You know, we think of it as entertainment, of course, feast for our eyes, for our senses, bringing us joy, but of course there is a business side to what's happening here in Edinburgh, which is really the cultural capital, I think, of the world. Now, what might be of interest, and I'm very excited about, and it's timely, that for the first time ever, there is the Edinburgh International Culture Summit happening Monday, and this is the first time something like this has happened in the world, where we're bringing in members of parliament, members of government, statesmen from all over the world to talk on culture and to really examine where arts and culture bridge gaps between different countries, politic and also creatively as well. And one of the themes running throughout the summit will be technology and the power of technology within the arts and what that can mean. So it's very exciting. There's a big buzz going around the city, and yeah, I'm really glad that I'm here, and I'm hoping that I'm going to be able to, you know, get to speak with some people there. And really hot off the press, Linda, and I just found out today, so at the Culture Summit, one of the keynote speakers from Abu Dhabi is Huda Al-Khamis Kanu, and she will be talking. I can't say yet, but maybe I can tell you more tomorrow what she's going to be discussing, but she will be looking at funding of the arts, funding of culture around the world, and how it can benefit all different populations around the world. And of course we noticed Her Highness coming from Abu Dhabi, and the work that has already been done there with the Arts and Music Festival of Abu Dhabi, so which relevant. And there is our key representative from the Emirates speaking at the very first Edinburgh International Culture Summit.
While you're there, have the feeling it's very busy?
Yeah, sure, absolutely. I mean, I think there's been a lot of wonder months with the Olympics happening, that whether it would affect sales here in Edinburgh for the festivals. You've got five festivals running along side by side, and still remains to be seen, I think, with until when we get to the end of August, to know quite what the figures are. But I arrived in Saturday afternoon and it was busy. The atmosphere was fantastic. We're experiencing some great weather, so it really has brought everybody out, walking around and going into the venues. And I think at the Edinburgh Comedy Awards lunch, what was spoken there from the awards director Nika Burns was that there might possibly be a 5% decrease in sales due to the Olympics, but that isn't confirmed. I think I'm hearing today from festival organisers that actually in many ways it has enhanced the festivals, because people have come to the Olympics and then they've come up to Edinburgh to enjoy the festival. So I think it certainly feels very busy. And I've spoken already to some of the performers who are saying that their venues are busy as well. So it's proving, I think, to be a very exciting and interesting August, interesting year for the Edinburgh Festivals. 25,000 artists, 40,000 performances, around thousands, I mean literally hundreds of venues around this magnificent city, just to get your head around the size of this city. And, you know, you've just got millions of people coming in throughout the month of August to enjoy all the festivals here.
How represented is Dubai and the United Arab Emirates in total?
Well, I can tell you that Dubomedy performed last evening with, of course, comedian Ali Al-Sayed and Mina. So, yeah, that's exciting. I'm going to be talking with them later. I also know there's promoters in town, so the Laughter Factory, Duncan and Gale, they're arriving this week. They'll be scouting comedy acts to bring to the UAE next year. And, yeah, there's a couple of other promoters from the UAE here as well.
How spontaneously could someone book a ticket for the Edinburgh Festival? Is everything sold out? What about hotels? Where can I stay? Are there still rooms available?
There is definitely shows available. If people are travelling to Scotland, we've got the Eid break coming up, then yeah, you can go online to www.edinburghfestivals.co.uk. All the festivals are there, information on Scotland. If you're looking at hotel accommodation, then visitscotland.com for hotels, transport, all of that you need to know visiting the city. Yeah, and for sure, some shows are sold out, but there's so much going on here that there's always something to see and do. Just walking around the streets, you've got street theatre, you've got site-specific pieces, installations. So, yeah, you can't. I mean, it's a 24-hour festival city. There is something going on 24 hours of the day. Whether you want to go to a gallery, whether you want to see some theatre, whether you want to just soak up the atmosphere and hear some music in the park. The military tattoo that I went to up at the castle. Do you know, Linda, 220,000 people go to the Edinburgh International Military Tattoo throughout the month of August. It's just a phenomenal amount of people going to the castle to see the tattoo. So, yeah, certainly come on up to Scotland and enjoy all that's happening here for sure.
What is your personal favourite?
Oh, well, my personal favourite wall, I don't know yet, because I've only been to the tattoo, which was amazing. I'm about to go off and do some dance this afternoon, so I'm looking forward to that. You know, comedy is my thing, so I'm hoping to see Iranian comic Chappical Sandy. I bumped into Canadian comic Phil Nicol yesterday, just walking by. I'll go and see his comedy show, but also he's got a play called Intervention, and what Phil does with the Comedian Theatre Company is where comics basically play straight drama, they act in plays. So that's their play this year, The Intervention, which apparently is very moving. So I'm hoping to see that tomorrow. And then for something really creative and exciting and avant-garde and really kind of breaking the boundaries down, I think, of live performances, The Clique at the Spiegel Tent. So I'm going to be seeing that, which is a late-night show that's going to be happening in a couple of days. So heaps for me to see and do.
Thank you, Suzanne. Have a good night today, a good afternoon. Enjoy your stay in Edinburgh and speak to you soon.
Thanks, Linda. I'll speak to you soon.